Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast, the number one dog training podcast in the world. Thank you so much for listening to me every single week. I appreciate you guys a lot. We haven't done a podcast video in a while, so I figured I'd pop on the camera and do this. If you guys are watching this video on YouTube and you want me to do more of my podcast in video format, if you like to see what I'm saying and whatever, let me know in the comments. If you're listening to this on the podcasting platform, thank you again for joining us. Today is going to be about probably the most used tool out there by accident and by nature, and I think by convenience, is the harness. So I have nothing against the harness necessarily. I just think a lot of people don't know what damage they could be doing to their dog physically and, of course, with their relationship. And I specialize in behavioral relationship work, right? So people who come in with behavioral problems typically have bad and poor relationships, and my job is to make them better. And I always tell people it doesn't matter if you don't have behavioral problems or problems with your dog in general, training can still be really helpful. I always tell people it's like if you're not overweight and obese and fat, you can still benefit from eating healthy and from training and getting into shape. So the harness, I think, just by nature is super, turn on this light here, super popular just because of the convenience. You can go pretty much anywhere and get a harness. But I think just what people don't understand is that the harness really disconnects you from your relationship. The harness doesn't have any pulse. There's also been studies of harnesses. There's a couple studies here that I have found because I've seen some image demonstration. And there's been several studies, but in 2003, they did a biomechanical impact on harnesses, on three popular harnesses, the biometrics of 66 domesticated dogs. The findings indicate that certain harnesses design could influence the dog's gait and joint mobility, potentially leading to discomfort or long-term musculoskeletal issues. That's a freaking mouthful. You know, listen, here's the thing, guys, is I'm just a dog lover turned dog trainer pro, right? And I'll just tell you, just keep it simple. Like, I'm not out here to say never use a harness, or I'm not out here to say if you use a harness, you're doing things wrong. I could care less. My job is to help dogs and to help owners. So I think just on average, people using harnesses, probably not going to see much unless you have a giant dog that's really, really strong, that's pulling a lot. You got to think that those straps on the dog are coming in into all of the dog's chest cavity and the vitals, right? The heart, everything is right there. So as the dog, if you have a dog that's over like 60 pounds pulling really hard on all those straps all the time, I could definitely see where there can be some problems. And sure, if the dog's spine and these studies have found, there's also a bunch of other studies. In 2021, they said that studies found that dogs tend to pull more strongly and steadily when wearing a back tie harness, right? So not the front tied harness. So it's the dogs will pull more and they'll pull for longer periods of time and more steady than a collar around the dog's neck. But that's all kind of, we could say, oh, like that's science. It's not, it's, you know, science and dog training is really just very niche down poles. But in this case, there was a study that was actually shown that harnesses can definitely affect the dog's walk, the dog's spine. And there's been some images too that it can really show how much impact it has on the dog's organs and the shoulders and even the ribs, but not, you know, whatever. That's not as important to me as the dog's relationship with their owner, right? Because a lot of the dogs who wear harnesses are small, but if you do have a large dog and they're constantly pulling a harness, it's something to think about. There's been studies that have absolutely shown that this could be harmful for your dog. But more importantly, it is 100% harmful for your relationship, without a doubt. There's not a question about that. So here's why, is when you're trying to communicate with an animal, look at a horse for an example, classic example, right? When we are communicating with a horse and we are helping navigating the horse's body movements and the mind, we are not roped around the middle of the back, right? We're not roped around the horse's stomach. We would have absolutely zero pulse, zero communication, zero action. The horse would not respond to that. And in fact, it might even be dangerous to do that as you're sitting on the horse to use that, right? So we put the reins on the animal's head, right, in order to help navigate where we want to go. And that's just a pressure system. It's negative reinforcement. But with dogs, it's awful to see how many dog owners out there who just don't understand. And if you have a harness on your dog, I'm not saying that you're awful or anything. I'm just saying that you probably have no idea what disconnect you're likely having on your dog or your relationship disconnect. So if you put a harness on a dog, and the harness was invented for dogs to pull safer. That's why they were invented. Right. So when we look at dogs who work with harnesses, for an example, like sled dogs for a really easy low hanging fruit, they all wear harnesses because it's safer for them to pull somebody in collective with all the other dogs with a harness on. But with training, what ends up happening, and here's the roadmap typically that happens, the timeline. People get a dog, they go out, they get a cute little harness, different colors, whatever. Cool. And then they put it on, and then their dog walks them. They're not bringing their dog for a walk, actually. Their dog is walking them. So the dog isn't checking in with them. The dog isn't engaged with them. The dog isn't looking back at them. And to be fair, as I always try to be, is there are some dogs out there that absolutely, from the start, don't pull. They're on the harness, or you don't even need a leash, and they're just walking next to their owner, and they could care less about anything. A lot of people, most people, the general amount of people, don't have that luxury. Those are called what I call unicorn dogs. And so think about that. You get the harness, you put it on. Great. This is going to be great. And to some degree, it might even be better for you to do that than use a martingale or a slip leash or a dominant dog collar or a pinch collar or plastic. There's so many different tools out there to help communicate with your dog, to teach the dog how to walk nicely instead of just hang on as they drag you down the road. And so the harness may be safer than the average Joe or Jill going out and buying training equipment to actually train your dog how to walk nicely on the leash. But the majority of people, like if you see trainers who use harnesses, they're doing a lot of positive reinforcement to get the dog to slow down and pay attention to them through motive. So they're using a lot of so they're not teaching a dog how to sit with this. They're just using this tool to get the dog to sit, right? So if you see somebody with a harness, they'll say, look, the dog is walking really nicely, or the dog is not freaking out. It's because you have an Italian deli at your hip and you're just constantly putting the dog in a sit. It's not actually teaching the dog. And I'm not saying it's impossible by any means. I'm sure there are some trainers out there that do this, but I'm just talking about the general. I mean, you guys have seen the work that I've done over the years on YouTube, the seminar, the live seminars that I've done. I've never once in my entire career, and I would be honest with you, seen anybody successfully train a dog with a harness that has the likelihood to pull or is a puller. It doesn't stop them from pulling. It just makes pulling safer for them. It actually encourages the dog to pull because it enables that. Also, again, let's just go back to the roadmap. You get the harness, you put it on the dog, you clip it on the back. This is typical. You clip it on the back and the dog goes, right? The dog is, again, in front of you sniffing. There's nothing wrong with that. On the flip side, what would you do, Tom? First of all, I would give the dog a break. So literally verbally giving the dog a cue to say, okay, break. Now you can go out and be a dog. You can sniff. You can be in front of me. I personally don't let my clients' dogs or my personal dogs pull me. There's nothing more inappropriate than that, just because it's not safe. I was a dog walker before I became a professional trainer, and I've had several back issues from doing that for a long time. So again, this is just objectively my experience. It's literally I guess you could say it's subjective, because it's the experiences that I had, but objectively with all the dogs that I've worked with, right? So certain dogs that I worked with in the past, especially as a dog walker, I can tell you from objective standpoint, the harness made and enabled dogs to pull harder in it. Those are the ones that really messed up my back when I was younger. But anyway, let's get back to the roadmap. The dog goes out, and again, there's zero engagement. And so what happens is the dog starts to disconnect from you. physically and mentally. At no point in time is the dog required to look back. At no point in time is the dog supposed to slow down. At no point in time is the dog supposed to check in with the handler. At no point in time is the dog actually going to walk next to the owner in a heel position, as you know, we all find dogs to have more an enjoyable walk with their owners when they're next to them and engaged and paying attention. Obviously, without saying, it's much, much, much better from a dog owner's perspective to not get dragged around. I've had clients that also quite literally don't even walk their dog anymore because they can't, right? Because they slap on a harness. And again, it's just the reason why I'm making this video and in this podcast is because people don't know. They're like, I don't walk my dog. And I'm like, why? They're like, because it's a nightmare to walk my dog. It literally is. Hold on, I should put on my branded hat here. Get this out of here. Let's put this branded hat on. Got the My Dog Bites hat on now. So I just think it's like people don't know, right? They quite literally don't know that the harness is actually intended for the dog to pull. And so they can't walk their dog because they've taught their dog that pulling is what we do. So there's great benefits to harnesses in certain scenarios, right? Like when we are working, we do search and rescue stuff. Again, like if we look at the principle of search and rescue, we are just attached to the dog of them leading us to find the odor. So that's exactly what we're doing when we go out for a walk with our dog, is we clip them onto the harness and we go run and we're just holding on. So, and again, with smaller dogs, I see it as I travel. I pay quite a bit attention to the kind of the local vibe of the dogs, right? Like just kind of interested always in seeing how the dog communities are in different parts of the world. And a lot of times it's like the smaller dogs, you know, people just aren't paying attention. They don't care because it's a small dog. It's like having a hamster on the end of a harness. It's like, what, you know, what's the worst case scenario that's going to happen? Nothing probably, right? But even then, if you're at home and you're watching this and you're going, yeah, like, why does that matter? I would say, well, it matters because you're disconnecting your relationship. So again, think about this. When you're building, let's reverse the roadmap here. So alternatively to getting the harness for your dog, you slap it on and then your dog drags you around town, not engaged, not looking, not paying attention, could care less if you're on the leash or not. And in fact, we've done tests on this. You could call it studies. We let the leash go and the dog just keeps going. They don't care that you've even stopped because they're not engaged with you. So the engagement is like having a conversation. Like right now, if I were having a conversation with you and I was way over here doing something else, or I was sitting here doing this on my phone. Yeah. So like, that's not engaged. You know, I'm not engaged in this conversation with you, right? I'm engaged into something else. And so when you're out for a walk with your dog, it's the same exact principle. So the opposite end of that is what I try to teach. Again, the reason why I have the protocols I do for training is because I've worked with so many dogs who have become reactive, have become fearful, have become insecure because of the things that they're not doing. And this is one of them, is the engagement and just the principle of boundaries. And so when we go out with a dog, we typically, again, if it's a newer dog that we just adopted or that we're training, or if it's a puppy, I just give them a cue. This dog doesn't have the skill sets to actually heal yet, so I'm not going to expect the dog to do it, right? So I'm just going to say break, and I'm going to let the dog out and let them be a dog. At no point in time am I going to tell the dog to heal or not pull past me. I'm not using a harness, because at some point, once I start training the dog in the fundamentals of leash pressure and how to walk nicely in a heel, I would have to switch equipment, and I don't. So I typically just start off with a martingale, and I tell the dog, break on your terms. But typically what I do is I start off in the home and I start working on the heel command. And so it's the, you know, the three D's of dog training, right? Distance, distraction, and duration. I'm working on actually the leash pulling course is done. We're just putting it together, and that'll be online, by this spring. So I'm excited about that. But the idea is teaching the dog how to walk nicely, but engaging. So checking in with the owner, something that harness people do not have. They have no engagement, right? So when I'm out with the dog, I want them to look at me. I want them to care that I'm there. I want them to look at me for direction. I want them to know that if I slow down, I would like them to slow down. If I stop, I would like them to stop. All this stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
There's an outward and an inward benefit to this. Like externally, it would be, well, I'm not getting dragged, so that's a plus. But even bigger than that, the dog is looking at you for information, looking at you for guidance, looking at you for direction. And this happens in the beginning. It's going to be using lots of positive reinforcement, like I talked about before. And then within about a week and a half to 2 weeks, the motivation starts to go away, right? And the dog just checks in with me naturally because I taught him or her when they check in, they get paid. But what happens with the transition, because a lot of people ask me, like, how do you transition from food to not food? Like, how do you leave your food at home? You see a lot of trainers out there that are constantly having to use the food tool. And I always tell people, I want you to always reward your dog when they do good, but they don't always need, you know, $100 every time they do something right. So it transfers to a verbal payment. And what that looks like and sounds like is if I'm healing a dog and they're looking up at me, I'll say good heel and I'll pay the dog. Good heel and I'll pay the dog. Maybe kibble or my No Bad Dog Nub Treats, 100% grass-fed organic beef liver. And as I'm moving the dog every now and then, we'll get paid externally from food, right? But I'm also rewarding in conjunction with my verbal praise. Good heel, bang. Good heel, bang. Good heel, bang. We would call this a duration marker. So I'm not ending the heel. It's kind of like a keep going command. Like, yep, we're doing good. And then once the dog really understands and is actively engaging, actively looking up, actively checking in, hey, am I doing good? Yep, you're doing good. Am I going to get paid? Maybe. But I just change it to a verbal. So again, we are associating good heel pay, good heel pay, good heel pay. And then the dog's getting excited because I'm saying good heel and then getting paid. So they're bridged together, they're linked together. And then eventually the payment goes away from the food because they don't need it, right? It's just an added bonus when you're developing. Positive reinforcement can come in many different ways. Sometimes you don't need that cherry on top. In the development stages, in the building stages, I use a lot of it. I'm like, I want you to keep doing this strong. Like, this is really important to me that you check in with me. It's really important to me that you look at me. It's really important to me that you engage with me. It's really important that you care that I'm on this leash. I want this to be a transactional relationship between you and I. When we're out for a walk, it would be really great if you paid more attention to me than what's going on around you, especially if you live in an environment in a city where there's tons of dogs, there's tons of distractions, there's tons of people, whatever's out there. Like, the more engagement you have, the better relationship you have. Everybody always talks about and compliments on like my relationship with Lakota. They're like, how did you get her so lasered in on you? Same thing. When she was a puppy, everything that she wanted went through me. So if she wanted a tug, she'd look at me and I'd pay her. She wanted a food, she'd look at me and I'd pay her. She wanted a break, she wanted to go run, she'd look at me and I'd pay her. Yep. And all it is, guys, is permission. That's all it is. Yes, you may. Have fun. Or no, you may not. There's a car or a dog. And so, excuse me. So this is where you would start. Is you start developing with a martingale collar. And you start developing a little bit of action. So what does action mean? Action means like a collar, for those of you who are watching, and if you're listening, I just have this little tiny prong collar in here. Prong collar is a great way to communicate, but we're not really talking about the prong collar right now. I just want to show you what action looks like. This is just another example of action, right? So this collar here has action. So when it moves up and down, this little triangle, and if you're listening to this on Spotify or iTunes, you can check this out on YouTube if you're super curious, but every prong collar has this little action. Martingale collars have this little action too, right? So when you use this, it's coming up to the dog and it's getting their attention. The prong collar is really great because it's a safer correction for the dog. It's distributing pressure evenly around the dog's neck, so less is more. You just have to use your finger to get the dog's attention, right? It's really nice. Safer collar to use by many, many means, and I've documented that hundreds of times in 4K on my YouTube channel, so I don't have to explain it to you guys, but it's a safer tool to use, but that action is really important. So if you have a martingale collar, it has action, has a little bit of action to it, right? And so when you're using that, you're communicating. There's a pulse. There's some sort of connection with your dog versus hanging on and just getting dragged, right? So the dog cares about it. The dog is getting information from you. You're getting information from them. And it's a great way to just start with the martingale collar. And so that's what I typically do is I teach the heel command inside and then I start to progress outside. But if you're – people ask me all the time, again, to reiterate – well, Tom, if my dog doesn't know heel and they're not prepared for outside, give them the break. Okay, break. Thresholds. If you're interested in the break command, I have a lot of videos on it. Also in my Kickstarter course, which is made for people who are trying to figure out which way to go, no matter the age of the dog. And right now there's $50 off that course. All my courses, actually, and I'll leave the link in the show notes or I'll leave it in the description show notes as well on YouTube. But the Kickstarter course is a great way to introduce the basics, which is the break command. So giving the dog a break or a release on your cue. So it would be a free command, something like that, just to say, hey, you're not good enough for this skill yet and heel outside, but you have to go outside because you have to go potty and I want you to explore. But we're going to use the martingale for a little bit of direction. We're going to use the martingale for a little bit of communication. I typically will say to people that it's discretionary on you on how you want to do your like a lot of people ask me like, do you let the dog pull? Do you not let the dog pull? And typically for me, I just will not let the dog pull me, but I'll let them be in front of me out of a heel. So if the dog is pulling, we'll just add a little bit of pressure with that collar that has action. Again, you cannot really do that with the harness because you're basically tapping on the dog's spine when you're doing that with a collar that has action. Or even a slip leash is great for this. You're communicating with the dog. You're plugged in. They care. You're right behind the ears. There's muscles that stick around right behind the ears. We're not trying to choke the dog. If you're choking your dog, you're doing it wrong. Obviously, it should not be sitting down on the larynx or the throat. It should be right behind the dog's ears, especially if you have a slip collar or a prong collar that is able to be customized and fit really nicely. My No Bad Dog slip leash is great because it has a mechanical stopper. So a lot of people have like the leather or the nylon stoppers, and it just either fades out and it gets big, or what ends up happening is it just slides down. And so the harness, obviously physically, it could add a lot of unnecessary pressure in places that you don't want it to, obviously. So there's been studies on that. But the harness also is the best way to completely disconnect you from your dog pretty immediately. You put the harness on the dog, you clip them on, they're at the end of the leash pulling, right? I've seen dogs do wheelies, right? Their paws are up in the front air and they're just on their back legs pulling. It's awful because they are it's sad. It's not even awful. It's sad. And so that's kind of my opinion on harnesses. And I've seen it absolutely damage and ruin people's relationships for these reasons, right? They completely disconnect from the dog the moment that they get them. And it's no one's purpose, or I'm sorry, it's no one's fault. It's no one's goal. It's nothing that they tried to do, right? It's not that they did it on purpose. They just didn't know. They were like, oh, okay, I'm just going to slap this harness on. And then boop, the dog's at the end of the leash just pulling their whole life. But not only is your dog going to pull their whole life, but it's also something that disconnects you immediately. Like you're quite literally, it's like, this might raise some controversy, but it's like giving a kid an iPad. Like there's a time and a place for that, right? Like we, as parents, I have two young boys. And if we're in a pinch, like if my wife is, you know, got the youngest baby doing diapers or whatever, and I'm off like doing this or I have to take a call or I'm doing something else, we'll let him watch a YouTube video on music or something, right? But my point is the people who out there is like any type of inconvenience that their kid gets remotely frustrated or wants to engage and they just throw a laptop at them and the kid or the dog, in this case, the dog, it's just a way to just kind of pacify or like you're just disconnecting. Like it's the best way to disconnect. Like it's not going to be constructive at all. It's just a pacifier in that case. And I like to do things different. I'm not saying it's better because there's so many different, all of dog training is subjective. unless you're doing competitive sports, right? You're going to get people out there like, oh, the harness is the best because it doesn't hurt the dog. And I'm like, well, first of all, hurting the dog and causing discomfort are two different things. Also, I would much rather put a tiny bit of pressure behind a dog's neck muscle and get them to engage and listen to me than get dragged around my whole life. Also, there's people out there that have gigantic dogs, right? Anything over a 60-pound dog is going to pull and they're very strong. Then you get into the Corsos, you get into the Mastiffs, the Rottweilers, the Shepherds, the big English Labs. The people are just out of control out there, right? It's dangerous for everybody. It's dangerous for the dog. It's dangerous for your relationship. It's dangerous when your dog pulls you up to other dogs because now there's a fight because you couldn't control your dog. I mean, all these things happen on the regular. And so, you know, you might see people out there that are like, always use the harness because it doesn't hurt the dog. And I'm like, giving a dog discomfort when they pull or correcting them when they pull with a little bit of pressure behind the ears and the muscle is much, much more sustainable to teach a dog what you want. In my new dog training course on the leash pulling, that's one of the first opening lines is I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to train you how to tell your dog, sorry, I'm not going to train your dog not to pull. I'm going to teach your dog how to heel and walk nice. That's the objective, is to teach and mold and shape. Harnesses just enable that and allow people to hold on safer. But again, if you have a giant dog or a strong dog and now they're pulling you, and I hear all the time from harness owners or dog owners who use harnesses, they're like, my dog drags me. I'm like, because you're using a tool that was made for dogs to drag. And that's why I'm making this video, is because this is just my experience. This is what I've seen, and these are the reasons why it's happening. There's tons of studies out there that I've seen over the years, but the two that I've said recently, and again, I'm not a studies. You can pay an organization to do a study in your favor anyway. Like, I could say training dogs with frogs is the best way to train a dog because of these reasons. I pay a study group to do it. They put it out, and I say, look, here's science. That's not true, right? It's not true. It's not real science. It's a paid advertising poll. And so I'm not going to sit here and say like harnesses are terrible, because there's the front clip harness, there's the easy walk harnesses. And just my thoughts on those, because I know people ask me about those. Like, I've used them in the past. I've used them in other countries where slip leads are illegal or martingales or, you know, whatever. And the dog spends more time trying to get this thing off. Now they're clawing at their face. Now they're scratching their face. Now they're bleeding. It's a headache to get the easy walks on. It's a headache to put the harnesses on. And again, if you get my Mastiff Burley, who's 150 pounds, he just turned a year. He's going to be well over 150 pounds the next couple months. If I tried to put a harness on him, whoever's hanging onto that leash may be going for a ride if they don't know how to handle this dog. He knows he'll listen, but he's a dog. We can't be naive to animal behavior. If he sees a squirrel that he's never seen, if he sees a deer running through my front yard, if he sees another dog off leash, like, there's only so much that my training can do. And then you go into management the situation, like, okay, crap, this happened, right? You're a really great trainer, or I'm sorry, you're a really great driver, right? And you're the best driver and you've never had any accidents, knock on wood, and you're great. But then all of a sudden somebody comes out of nowhere and smashes you. Now you're in management mode. I didn't expect this. It's not my fault. What do we do, right? Do you want something that's actually going to communicate with your dog, or are you going to want something that's going to enable the dog to pull you even harder and longer, as studies have shown? So, you know, just be mindful of that. Like right now, Burley is naked and so is Lakota. They go around and they don't wear any equipment because they listen well. When I go out into public places or bring my dogs for a walk, I put the equipment on them that is safest for them to be walking under these environments, right? Because I care about my dogs. I'm not going to use a harness on a dog that is likely going to pull right through it, because that's why they were designed. Can you train a dog in a harness? Sure, but we have to define what training means. It's typically, I've never seen a dog owner ever, I've traveled to Australia, Portugal, Netherlands, the UK, all over the United States for the last 13 years training dogs professionally. And I've worked with everybody from US Special Forces to on set at Good Morning America just 2 days ago, just looking at dog behavior and how people are going to do under certain environments with lights, cameras, actions, gunshots, bombs, people yelling, people screaming, etc. And I can just say that your engagement with something that doesn't require action to the dog is not going to work, right? You want something that can communicate with your dog. You want something that allows you to get leverage on a safer component. And that's why harnesses aren't the go-to thing to train with. And that's why you'll see majority of, again, the majority of people with harnesses as I travel. We thought about, like, let's just take a video every time we see this happening. They're all pulling. They're all in front. They're all disengaged. Very, very, very rarely. Can you do it? Absolutely. You can do it. There's people out there that can do it. But it takes so much time and so much energy to do that just to prove that you can do it rather than use something that's actually developed to get a dog's attention and to correct them when they pull and to have action safely on a dog. Not to mention when your dog does decide, like, hey, I'm going to run after this squirrel or this other dog, your harness is going to completely go out the window. Like, they're not going to respond. They're not going to listen. Your treats and your clicker are going to go because the dog is choosing a higher motivation than you. And then now you're just pulling back. I've done it with my dogs. Listen, guys, like, I've tried every single type of training out there. This isn't like, oh, Tom's just talking about balanced dog training because that's what he is. But I am this byproduct of doing everything. I was a professional dog walker and I've worked with so many dogs and I walk dogs with the equipment that the owners gave me. So I can tell you, I was sitting there in your seat, just like you guys are, thinking about, wow, you know, I heard this other person or this other trainer I follow said this, that, and the other thing. I was the same way. I sat there and I walked hundreds of dogs a week, and I knew for a fact what was going to work and what was not going to work objectively, depending on what equipment and what was on certain dogs. I did suggest certain things at some times because it got unsafe. I've also just respected people's things. Oh, no, that's what we use. I'm like, okay, well, it sucks, you know? So over the years, I've just really refined what works, and that's why I'm able to do all the things that I do in the dog world professionally, is because, you know, I think it makes sense, right? I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't get paid to do this podcast. You know, maybe there's some AdSense, couple hundred bucks a month on AdSense for talking about dogs on YouTube, you know, for podcasting. But guys, I'm just trying to do this because I want you to understand why your dog may be not listening to you, or maybe you have a hard time. And this is just what I've seen in my experience. If you guys are watching this video, please in the comments, let me know your experience, and also let me know what your thoughts are on this. I'd love to know. But overall, harnesses are great for search and rescue. They're great for easy transportation back and forth. They're great for dogs who never pull. They're great for dogs who are older and don't care. But again, like, why don't you just use why put all that junk on when you can just use a flat collar or a martingale? It's an everyday wear. It's great for obviously sled pulling. It's great for all the things that need the dog to pull, right? But training your dog, getting your dog's attention and building a better relationship and teaching the dog how to walk, epic fail in my experience. Hope you guys are well. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to this on Spotify or iTunes, we put videos out like this every single week, multiple podcasts a week, number one dog training podcast in the world. Thank you guys so much. No Bad Dog Army. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.